everybody, and welcome back to Android App Addicts, episode 459. My name is Mark. I am your host for the show that we talk about apps, phones, and stuffs. And joining me this week are the people you're really here to see, my friends and yours, the door-to-door geek, Steve McLaughlin, and Eric, the executive, the manager, the great one himself, Ardini. Hello, gentlemen.
Hey, Mark. How's it going?
I'm doing well, thank you. And yourself?
Feeling better. I was pretty sick last week. Man, I think it's something that's going around here and the rest of the country all at once. Everybody's sick I talk to everywhere. But yeah, mine wasn't long-lived. It's just like a four-day thing and over it, so that's good.
Yeah, my middle child missed 3 days of school last week, so you made her sick from 900 miles away. Pretty amazing.
Yeah, well, I sterilized my microphone and I'm back.
Good, good. Dor, how about yourself?
I'm installing an app right now. Fire Emblem Heroes from Nintendo just became a truly released product maybe an hour ago at the most, because I've been checking it all day. It was supposed to get released. I'm not crazy. I'm not in jail. I also haven't won the lottery, so I'm right in the middle. Mainly trying to stay busy. Hope everything's going good for you down there in the south.
Doing very well. Another balmy day here. In general terms, because I want to respect your privacy, but I know that our audience cares, how's your kid doing?
Mentally, he's still really high. He has said to me some of his concerns kind of thing. Physically, he's definitely better. If I had to give a percentage, I would say 70 to 80% better. He still basically needs to clear up. There's still visible rashes around his knuckles and stuff. But he does tell me constantly how he's feeling much better. So that's good.
Yeah, that's good.
Glad to hear it.
Yeah.
So I saw that the groundhog saw his shadow, so 6 more weeks of winter, which means we may actually get 6 days of winter here in the south. I think we've decided to just skip winter here. But it is Groundhog Day, and I haven't watched Groundhog Day. I'm missing that part of my life. I thought today, briefly, about posting the same tweet every hour. But then I realized, A, that's a lot of work, and B, most people probably wouldn't get it. So now, I didn't.
Before the movie, was Groundhog Day associated with that kind of thing?
Not at
ever?
All. No.
Okay.
All right. Not in my life, anyway.
Because after the movie, it became a real reference point for everybody. They knew Groundhog Day over and over.
Well, that was one of the genius things about that movie. They really could have done it for any holiday, and a lot of other people would have probably just done it with Christmas because they were out, they were on the road, and then the day repeats. It would have been either New Year's Day or that. But for some reason, Ramis and Bill Murray picked Groundhog Day. I actually watched a thing the other night about the movie. I was wanting to watch the movie, but I forgot to. But I'm going to watch it again just because it really, to me, is one of Bill Murray's better movies. Not that he really has many bad ones, a couple, but it's good.
Yeah, the genius of that really was that they picked a holiday nobody cared about, and they made a holiday movie for a holiday nobody cares about. So it gives you an excuse to care about the holiday. And it was the first viral marketing, pre-internet age. It was great.
Yeah, and one of the little trivia statements is, I do believe Bill Murray hired every family member within a 300-mile radius to be in this movie.
That's a game that my family and I play. We try to guess the relation. When there's an actor in the movie that is clearly not an actor, and is just in for a cameo and stands out for being so bad, it's like director's cousin. We try to guess the relation.
Right.
And that's interesting. I'll have to start looking for that. I guess I never noticed it.
I recently watched, I'm not saying I recommend it, I'm just saying that I watched it, the Jack Black Goosebumps movie.
Oh, really?
And I watched it because I like Jack Black and my kids like Goosebumps, so it seemed like a fair thing. It was it was fine. It was a Jack Black bubblegum movie. But R.L. Stein, spoiler alert, at the end there's a little cameo where R.L. Stein plays a character named Mr. Black. And Jack Black throughout the movie is playing R.L. Stein. So it was just a little nod to that. And most people wouldn't get it, but it was funny. And I had a point before when I started talking, but then I started talking and it all went away. So I'm just going to keep talking for
Jack
a long
Black.
Time. No reason.
And that's okay, because I wasn't a fan of Jack Black. I'll say that. I really wasn't a fan of him at all. I thought he was funny, but he was okay. Then the first time I saw him on Yo Gabba Gabba, that's when I realized he honestly really doesn't care. He partially just wants to have fun. He partially just wants his kids to see him do things and things that they watch.
You know, he's one of those guys, I'll watch anything he's in just because I like watching him, but I don't have high expectations of it.
Well, and to me, that's the beautiful thing about the stuff he does. If you just enjoy him, you'll enjoy everything he does. Even the evaporate or disapprove envy. I mean, it's just out there. Everything he does is just completely out there, and it's fine. It's him.
Right. Gulliver's Travels is brilliant in its stupidity.
Yeah. Okay. Now, this app I'm going to bring really quick, the first app, is just a game, Nintendo. The tie-in is they released it today on iOS and Android, but the real kicker is they're releasing this with a purposeful reason. They want to get people involved in the game, liking the game, so when the Nintendo Switch comes out in 3 weeks, 4 weeks, that people might have a reason to buy that game on that device as well. They're trying to basically do some cross-marketing.
Actually, I have a theory about that. I think this is going to be the game that's included with the device, that you're going to get it for free if you buy the Switch, but they got to get a little taste out there first so that people might be interested.
I will not say you're wrong. I will say right now there is no game announced to come out with the device, and people are mad. People are very upset. This is a very Japanese-based, turn-based strategy a fighting game, like an old-school game, with better graphics than an old-school game. But I will say, I don't care what it is, something needs to come on that device from the factory.
I mean, I can't remember. I haven't bought a game console in a long time, and I can't remember in recent years. Did the Xbox 360, did the PS4, do these come with games these days?
Well, you can buy them all without games, every single one, but they purposely put out a lot of them in combo bundle form. To where when you walk into the store and you want to buy one, I can't buy one without a game because they're all sold out. I got to buy the bundle one.
Yeah.
The Nintendo Wii is the classic example. Because they bundled Wii Sports with it from day one, Wii Sports became the number one selling game of all time for at least a little bit of time. I do believe it's now been beaten out, but because of that, it was the number one selling game of all time.
I mean, I remember Nintendo's always done that. All the NES came with Mario, going all the way back to the Atari. It came with combat, there was in the world where there wasn't games, you had to produce a game. But now, I mean, and with the Nintendo Switch, especially, this is an entirely new platform. There's nothing, there's nothing backward compatible. Everybody's going to start with a blank slate. So I really think they're going to include a game with it. And it's just going to be like a surprise. Nintendo loves you very much. And that game could well be Fire Emblem Heroes.
Well, it's obviously ready. Yeah, because it's out. It is completely free to download. I do not know anything about the in-app purchases because it just came out. Just came out. 29,000 reviews by Nintendo. Completely free to download. 4.5 average reviews. 22,000 five-star reviews. It says updated February 1st. I can tell you this morning, the 2nd, it was not available for download. Already has between 50,000 and 100,000 downloads, current version 1.02. So they've already updated it. They've already revved it.
In-app purchases from $1.99 to $74.99 per item. What is that? Do you buy the console? Like you can download the console through the game? $75? Good grief.
Yeah.
You could be the first, Mark.
I don't know.
Let us know.
I don't know, but I do know there are people out there who will buy it just to turn to their buddy and say, hey, I bought that in-app thing for $75.
Yeah, you're right. The same kind of people who buy first-gen iPads and break them out in the store in front of people.
Yeah. Yeah, those geniuses.
You can unlock the potential of your player so much better with $75.
Yeah. You've made me so much stronger. Thank you so much.
Crushed my blade.
I don't... These games... they're not
Fighter,
for me.
Street Fighter and My Little Pony put together. Perfect brony game.
I'm really not going to comment on that. It's just a very Japanese game. That's what I'm saying. Just a Japanese game.
Oh, I guess for free, I'll install it, not buy any of that purchase, and check it out. If it's the new thing from Nintendo, it's got to be pretty good.
Well,
the reviews sound good.
But I'll say because it's a very Japanese game, I'm afraid I hit open the app, and I got a little, and it literally takes me 7 minutes of something before I get to actual gameplay.
Ooh, right.
That's not going to make it long for me then.
I do want to flash back a little bit too. I think it was just last week that Dor, you brought the Skydancer game, the Endless Runner, where you jump and I can't stop playing this game. Thank you for sucking yet another week of my life away on a game. It's so simple and so hard that it's really just addictive. So
beautiful too.
Well, you know, okay, it is attractive. I have a complaint about it. Maybe it's just my old eyes. Everything is so low contrast that it's hard to see, you know, the objectives when you're trying to land on a platform. And maybe that's part of the game, but maybe that's it. But it's difficult, unnecessarily difficult, to see where you're supposed to jump and where you're supposed to land because you're running at night in a gray sky with a blue background. But anyway.
Well, I'm sure they had to do something to try to increase the difficulty at least a little bit. But I agree. That's my only complaint is the sky is orange. If the sky is orange, then the platforms are orange too.
Right.
Just a slightly different shade.
All right. Yeah. So Dor brought an app. I complained about an app. Eric, next up.
I'm going to bring a simulation app. This one is called Metal Detector Game US by David Rakosnik. So this is my new hobby, man. I'm going to start metal detecting, and I figured I'd try it out virtually to see if I'm into it or not. And this lets you try out different kinds of metal detectors. And you got a time limit. You got to find things in this big patch of grass with your metal detector and dig them up and see how much you can get within the allotted amount of time. And you can find, sometimes you find junk. Sometimes you got to learn how to read the right metal detector signals it's giving you to see if it's junk or a coin or something or gold or whatever.
The only comment that I will make about this game simulator, this app, is that 50,000 people have downloaded it. That in itself is remarkable.
Average review of 3.9 stars.
Okay, if when you're doing this game, if you actually have to hold the thing in front of you and move it back and forth like a gyro, then it will get more points in my book. But I'm willing to bet no, you actually just your finger back and forth on the
No, it acts just like a real metal detector. The bad part about this game is you have to put your finger right over the LCD display part of the metal detector. It should let you put your finger back like a quarter of an inch behind it, like you were hanging onto the stick that thing's connected to.
Well, or let you put it anywhere on the screen as long as when you put your finger down, you're then controlling it.
But no,
because you want to see the screen, right?
Yeah, I don't think the screens are actually active. There's a little a simulated screen up in the corner that's going when you're using it.
Okay, well, my question is what is the wood on the bottom of the screen? It looks like you have a wooden belt or something.
Yeah, I'm thinking that's a drawer where you would keep all your treasures in like a desk drawer.
So you're dragging a desk behind you as you're...
I think that's for later. You can pull out your drawer and just look down at all that sweet silver and gold.
There are three screenshots, one of which says Metal Detector US screenshot. It's a screenshot of the words screenshot.
And so if you're not from within this country, David Rakosnik has also another app in the Play Store that has, I guess, European-type monies, not American ones. This is the U.S. version.
Alrighty.
So when you're finding old nickels, we know that it's a nickel. They would think, ooh, what is that, some kind of pence or something? But they could actually find their own money so they don't have to get confused.
Christine El Marco sums up my thoughts exactly in her review. Is this real? If someone will make app like this and everybody will download it, can you answer my question? Okay.
Okay. Yeah. Updated January 13th. January 31st, 2015. 10, version 1.0.21, 3.9 average reviews.
For people who want to metal detect without actually gathering anything and without all that pesky exercise and fresh air.
Yep.
Or a $100+ shovel to dig up what you think you found.
I see kids on the beach with shovels all the time that barely cost 100 pennies. Just saying.
Yeah, no, there's some expensive shovels out there. And this equipment's expensive. This way you can try them out without having to spend all that.
All right, I got to move on. Dor, please bring some sanity back to my life.
Okay, I want to bring a non-game app. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to pull a Mr. Ardini. Because I really don't believe...
Thank you.
I really don't believe I brought this last week or the week before, but for some reason I feel like I might have. This is called Construction Simulator Pro 17. Part of me thinks I forgot to delete it off my...
I don't remember seeing this.
...app list.
No, me neither.
Okay, good. Okay. This is the ultimate in construction simulators. You literally have to go to the... You start at the place where the crane is on the back of the truck. You have to get in the truck. You have to drive it to the destination without killing yourself and everybody else. Park it in the right spot. And then use the crane to either dig or lift stuff. And then that's just one of the types of things. Sometimes you have to go pick up your forklift and pick up a skid full of drywall and take it to the back of a flatbed truck and put it on the flatbed truck. Sometimes you got to take your cement truck to the site, to the work site, and dump your concrete in the right spot. I mean, all kinds of what I can just call literal construction type task. Even the giant crane, you can be sitting in the giant crane, which that's the job me never do, ever do. But again, Construction Simulator Pro 17 by MayGeeks Apps and Games, 360 reviews, $4.99 to buy, some sort of in-app purchase, 3.7 average reviews, updated December 23rd, 2016, between 10,000 and 50,000 installs, current version 1.8. So for $5, they've made at least $50,000 estimated off of this game, minus the Google stuff. And it comes out of, I believe, Poland. I think where all the best simulators seem to come out of, maybe.
This is a nice, $5 is a nice barrier to entry into the world of construction. If you're thinking that's the trade you want to go into, this is a good way to, before you jump into it, to try it all out. Just like that last simulator game I brought. I really like how you can virtually choose your path now before actually committing your entire life to something.
Yeah, I literally got this just so my son could see the big giant crane, like what it would be like sitting in that cockpit and viewing it, because the cockpit is up where the giant crane basically goes straight up and then it goes straight out right where that joint is. That's where the cockpit is. And you're like hanging down, like in an amusement park ride, your seat is literally leaning forward. So straight down is like right in front of you.
Man, if you had to like go left, right as you climb all the way up to that cockpit, you know, 300 feet up into that crane, that would be pretty cool too.
If you go up, up, down, down, left, right, you just get to the top automatically.
Rocket shoes. Yeah.
Yeah. I'll just say, literally just talking about it, and I feel like I'm going to like have a panic attack. Yeah.
You know, right. Eric, you said that it's a low barrier entry, but you could be like our friend John Button, who says, love the game, hate the game. This sim is fun, but however, it took my $19.99 for treasure chest of coins, but no coins! When I went back and clicked on it, said already purchased, but no coins were added. There's no way to straighten this out because no real information in the app for contacting. I'm a kid, and that $20 is all I have. I should have never spent so much, and now I have no way to get it. I wanted to get some more equipment for the game.
Did the author of the game respond back to him?
No.
Oh, my geeks, come on. He's a kid.
Well,
it was December 31st, so he's only had a month.
It was just about a month, which to me, he should reply by then. But I will say right at the bottom, there is support at mageeks.com and a button to click their website. So
yeah, there's ways to contact them, whether they actually, you know, respond. I guess that's the question.
Yeah.
You know, this might be fun on like a big screen TV with your game with the joysticks and stuff, but I can't see on a phone. It's just not working for me. I'm not seeing it.
VR headset.
Yeah, but you can't control the controller with a VR headset, right? You can't touch the screen.
Bluetooth controller. I don't know. I've never played this game, but I mean, hypothetically, you should be able to. Because you should have two joysticks like in your control booth that you're running the crane on anyway.
True.
Yep.
You guys are just bringing the weird stuff tonight, or maybe it's
that's
just
version two.
I'm just trying to keep up with Eric.
Ah, man, I'm gonna. I'm gonna. Okay, no. I'm going to go to the next app. I guess I'm just going to keep stuttering here. All right. The next app is I don't know. It's not a simulator, so that's the thing. It's called Beta Apps by Elsie Kangru. Rated E for everyone. This app, basically you install it, and it will look at all the apps you have installed, and then with one button, one tap, it'll take you straight to the beta testing site for that app. If you want to be a beta tester for Voxer, and Voxer offers a beta test site, this is the easiest way to find it, or any app that's on your phone. I would say probably 30% of the apps that I had installed do have a beta tester section, and this took me right to them. If you want that, you know, some people might not.
Well, I'll say to me, the real reason to do this is if you're the kind of person that at every app you download, you complain about. Okay, stop complaining. Get in with the beta program and help guide the development process towards what you think is a better thing. Realistically, you might tell them something that they consider to be great after the fact and want to thank you and send you like a free shirt and maybe a gift card because what you did really helped our project out. Everybody has something to offer, you know, so my logic is everyone should at least download this and at least check out one or two apps and see what it's like to be a beta tester, to see what it's like to have input in the development process. You might get a jerk developer where it doesn't matter what you say, he doesn't listen to you. You might get an app that really is just pure crap, or you might actually stumble across what is the next great, you know, clipboard app or the next great keyboard app. You never know.
And so what it tells you after you select the ones you want to join the beta, you actually, it'll take you to the Google, it'll open your Chrome browser or whatever browser you're using, take you to that site, you click, I want to be a tester, and then you back out, and then it lets you know that, you know, within the next day or so, your app is going to update, and with the it'll then be the beta version that you'll be on. You don't have to do anything else. You don't have to download an APK or anything like that.
I think my thoughts can best be summed up by Andre Rigato when he says, I really love your company name. Me finding this app must have been the Steins Gate choice. The organization is watching me, so I have to go. L. Sai Kangru.
That is a really good name, I'll say.
No idea what any of that means. I feel like I'm in a Kafka novel.
L. Sai. And they only make one app, and this is it.
It was the Steins Gate choice. Sure, please, rescue me.
Okay, I'm gonna bring a game, but I'm going to admit to you guys, I couldn't play it. I tried to play it. I wanted to play it. Ooh. I couldn't play it. Because as soon as you launch the game, it insists you either connect to Facebook or you connect to Google. And I honestly wanted to first see what the game was before contacting to anything. Okay, this is called Kaboom, K-U-B-O-O-M, Kaboom, by Nobody Shot. 3,400 reviews, T for teen, does have some sort of in-app purchase, free to download, free to install, 4.0 average rating, updated February 2nd, 2017, today, between 100,000 and 500,000 installs, current version 0.21. Okay, content rating teen violence, blood, and more kind of thing. The real reason I wanted to try this game is because this game claims to have real-time network play, multiplayer online network play, first-person shooter game. I wanted to see what that could be like kind of thing. Hopefully not crazy lag, hopefully not, you know.
Well, that's why you had to log in then.
Why?
For the so you can see your other players and they can see you.
Why? Why can't I just say my name is Dor?
Because the Steins Gate is watching you.
There is no reason to log in except they want to spam your service or pull data off your service or something else. Yeah.
And I understand we're describing a visual thing in an audio medium, but let's just say if you ever wanted to play a Halo deathmatch in a Minecraft world against Lego characters, this game is for you.
I was thinking Call of Duty, but yeah.
Yeah, I'll say just a smidge better than Minecraft. Just a literal smidge. Literally like a touch more focus. You're still blind and you still only see big blocks. But yeah. And I really wanted to play this. I really wanted to try this. I really wanted to see what this was like, but I couldn't play it.
Maybe I'll take one for the team and instruct my son to install it, because he's good at Call of Duty anyway, so he might like this.
Well, and I'm going to throw out there, I can put a link in the notes, S-M-A-Y-S. Oh, sorry. It's a micro USB to Ethernet dongle, okay? Not every Android device will work with this. The drivers have to be pre-baked into the operating system. I will say, out of my four Android devices I had down here, it worked on two of them. It didn't work on my new Honor 8, partially I think because this is micro USB and my phone is Type-C. It did not work on my OnePlus One, just because. It did work on my Remix Ultra, I will say that. And I know it worked on something else I had upstairs.
Dor, how did you try plugging a micro USB into your C and thinking it might work?
Well, because I had an adapter.
Okay.
And now here's the reason why I bring this up. For any kind of online play, wired will always destroy wireless. And everyone looks for that advantage, okay? With a wireless speed test over my network kind of thing, I want to say like 17, sometimes 25 up to speeds. When I put this thing on, I was getting like 50 megs, like literally 3 to 4 times speed test. And like with the Nintendo Switch that's coming out, only one party right now makes a guaranteed network adapter for it that's hardwired. And my contact in the industry told me pre-order it now because it's going to be sold out for months.
But when you're playing multiple online player games like this, it always it'll default to the lowest common denominator in the gameplay. What? You're not going to be able to frag people better.
No,
because
yes, you will.
On
yes,
a console will. Game?
Always. Speed kills. The people with the better internet access, the faster internet access, always do better on average than the people with slower access. And this is coming from gamers. Gamers will literally go out of their way to switch service providers, to move their console closer to where it comes into the house just to eke out that little bit more speed.
Yeah, but they're not playing Minecraft games with Lego characters either.
They're playing first-person shooters where you run around, bang, bang, bang. I mean, you know, same principle.
Well, I mean, I'm not doubting you. You're probably right. But I mean, it makes sense that you're right, but I've never heard any complaining about this, and I think I would have by now, that side of the room doesn't have Ethernet, but the other side does.
Well, first off, most people in most houses have most of their console wireless. You know what I mean? It isn't like, most people do, and only a couple people don't. And I'm sure there is some sort of infrastructure out there that really does try to negate it. But here's the thing. If it goes down to the Buffalo theory, to the slowest one, you're going to have really bad gaming experiences, period. I will say also, this supposedly game will work where I'm on Android, you can be on computer, and somebody else can be on iOS, and we can all three be in the same game shooting and killing each other. That helps you out.
All right, since we stumbled into that subject, I'd like to derail the conversation a little bit, but it is almost a little bit related because they all use phone apps to control them. What do you guys think of the current spate of mesh wireless networks? Eero, Google Wi-Fi, Orbi, I think is one, those things out there. But just in general, what are your thoughts on those versus sticking 3 D-Link access points on each level of your house?
I've heard good things about the Google. I've no experience with any of those personally. I think it probably would work well. I mean, everything matched, like that. What do you think, Dor?
I'll say if you just take 3 any router off the street and you put them on your network and you put them in I don't want to say bridge mode, I can't remember what the mode's called, wireless distribution mode, WDS mode, you will always lose at minimum 10% of your speed with every hop you go, up to, on the poorly designed routers, up to 50% of your speed every hop, every time you jump to a different wireless distribution thing. Even if you only use extenders, with every extender you have to hop, you're losing at minimum, you have to, by law, how the code is written, 10% speed always. Wireless mesh routing, it kind of does like what you're talking about, Eric, where like lowest common denominator, what it tries to do is slow the entire network down at one time by 10%, kind of thing, by a percentage. So everybody on the network has the same experience, no matter how many hops you got to do. I do think it's a more mature way of doing wireless distribution. The price is still outrageous to me. I'm not paying $300 for these services.
Well, I live in a three-story house. I've got a basement, a first store, and a second floor. If I bought three decent Wi-Fi routers, I'm spending $300 already. So it's not really, it's not any more expensive than having decent Wi-Fi in my own home.
I'm in a three-story house. You buy three routers, you're full because you're going to be conflicting so many times, jumping back and forth from router to router to router, that you're going to see speed losses. And I only say this because of experience. You need space between these devices. If you have a three-story house, unless you have literally like over 1,000 square footage on floor, you only need two at like both the edges of the house. And then in the middle of the house, you know, you're going to be fine. To have one on each floor is too many. And I know it because I had three on the floor and I saw my signal kept disconnecting, reconnecting, jumping back and forth from device to device on all the devices, the Rokus, the TVs and everything else. Square footage is the key. You got a big house, you're going to always need more devices unless you want to go Ethernet over power line, which you're going to lose speed. You're going to be at the fastest 100 meg. I want the mesh devices to come down in price. I really do. If they can come down to be 180 for three devices for your house, I'll scoop it up in a heartbeat because I believe overall I'll see a better experience. These classic routers we have, I don't think can take the 10, 15 plus devices some of our houses have on our network at any time with three or four of them streaming video.
Yeah, I could really see the hit that I take on my wireless extender that gets, I've got it, it actually, it's plugged in into my shed. So it's like the halfway point to the other side of my yard. Yeah, you get back there in that corner, it's pretty rough. But it is. It's not a new extender. I think, I don't know what the range is on the Google ones. I would imagine it's probably at least as good as that. I would mind trying it, but like Dor said, I'd like to see the price come down because I've got a couple hundred invested in the router I use. And it hits my house just fine. It's just when I get out around the yard is where I start losing it.
Of course, the only way that the price is going to come down, sorry for interrupting, is for people to buy it. That's how prices come down, is units sold goes up. And I'm not sure that's going to happen. I mean, Google is known to dip its toes into markets and then run away. I wonder if there's enough there to be interested in it, because, you know, you're talking about Wi-Fi performance, everything, is moving in that direction. I, when I moved into this house, the first thing I did before we moved in was I ran Cat 6 everywhere. So I've got copper, at least I've got a backbone to every floor of the house, if not in every room of the house. Because copper will always be RF, always, always, always. But at the same time, most of my devices don't have Ethernet connections. You know, my phones, my tablets, you know, my laptops obviously do, but why would I want to do that? Even though copper is better, it's still just a backbone to deliver wireless. And I wonder about these things, the Eero in particular, and I'm not really sure about the Google Wi-Fi. From what I've read, they don't seem to work. They don't seem to use Ethernet. They're a wireless mesh, and so you have to put them in a way that they each have a strong wireless signal to each other. But, you know, if you're doing that, if you could get all your tech where it had a strong wireless signal to each other, you wouldn't need the mesh in the first place. I'm just a little unclear on whether it's worth it.
Well, I'll say that's true. But most people who do this now, at least because I know more than a couple guys that install this into businesses, it's literally where you're in a place where there's 40 to 50 plus wireless devices that are connecting at a time. So even if 40 people can have a strong signal to the main Wi-Fi, and that's it, there's only one, all 50 ain't going to work. You're going to have severe bottlenecks, and you're going to have a lot of drop, you're going to have a lot of lag. When you have three different ones, you know, 15 here, 15 here, 15 here, it helps to mitigate it out a little bit, because the actual devices tell the device, don't connect to me on full, go to the other one kind of thing.
I learned a lot about that working in schools, having a laptop cart in room 101 with 25 laptops in it, and a laptop cart in room 102 with 25 laptops in it, And it is like you were saying earlier, if you get too many things too close together, they kill each other. But if you don't have enough things, they swamp the system. And that's a thing. That's a thing that enterprises have always been dealing with. And the mesh network, the things like the Aruba network and things like that, the Meraki, they solve that by having really dumb, really low powered mesh, all controlled by a central controller. And their genius is that they can dial up or dial down the RF intensity on the fly. So if things get crowded, one can dial up, the other can dial down. I don't know that the Google Wi-Fi or the Eero or the Luma, if they're smart enough to do that. If they can, that's impressive. And that might solve the problem. And it also explains why they're $500.
I know the Google says it can. I still don't know anybody that owns it. The other one, I don't know if it claims that it does it, but I know the three or four techs I know that have installed it in multiple places all praise at how well it works, to the point where they're saying, I'm about to put this in my house, kind of happiness.
I'm going to do it. I will be your reporter in the field. I'm going to do it. I just haven't decided which one I'm going to go with yet.
Right. Well, here's a sign of what you were stating yourself, Mark, about Google dipping their toes. I was kind of impressed. You know, I always know that a product has made it, whatever product it is, or not specifically a brand, but just a product. When you can go to a big box store like Walmart or Kmart or whatever and buy it sealed in like a plastic bubble container off of a peg hook. So when I saw that Walmart was actually selling the Google Wi-Fi system, I'm like, well, maybe it is a product. Maybe it's a thing. Well, they are out of stock in it. So that's not good to hear. So that means they're probably not stocking it now for maybe lack of sales.
So that could mean one of two things. Either the demand was so high that they can't keep up, or Google only made a small number and can't distribute, which is a Googly thing to do.
It had 7 reviews when it ran out.
Right, right. I'm thinking they didn't make a lot in the initial shipment, expecting it to not sell like crazy, and it's actually selling better than they thought.
Maybe.
I don't know. I honestly don't know. But I would love everybody in America to buy one of these things. So when I go to buy one, it's like $100.
And the bugs are all worked out by the time you get it too.
I do not like being a beta tester. I will say that, yes.
I had an old boss who used to say, never be the first, the new to try, or the last to lay the old aside.
Yeah.
There's wisdom there. See, whose turn is door? I think it's yours.
Nope, it's mine. Oh, okay. This all started from door's
you're right.
App you wouldn't install.
Kaboom.
So I'm going to bring a game then. And this is called Change the Line by Solidware. It's an arcade game. E for Everyone does have ads and offers in-app purchases. And I hope the in-app purchases get rid of the ads, because the ads suck. But this could be a game that I could see maybe Mark Cockrell liking. No. Basically, it's a left-right.
Mm. As soon as I saw this, I exhaled deeply and thought, oh, I've just lost another week.
Yeah. So Barrett, basically, it's in portrait mode. And it's just a bunch of lines, parallel lines going up and down, and you have to steer a little orb onto lines like they're your rail. You have to stay on the rails, and you can't run into red spots in the rails, because then you die. It's just left and right. And
is it tilt it's got control?
Nice music with it. Huh?
Is it no. tilt control?
Swipe. Well, yeah, I'm not sure that it is. I didn't play it tilt control. I played it with the buttons. Left side of the screen, right side of the screen.
Yeah, I'll say I do like the fact that it's in portrait. For some reason, part of me really appreciates when I don't have to sit there with two hands and play every game. I do like sometimes just having the one hand just playing the game kind of thing. I will say I like the basic color styles that are going on. Doesn't look hard, but I'm sure it's the kind of thing, you know.
You learn quick. I started out real rough when I first started playing. And it's kind of like the endless runner type thing, where it's counting your like yards, your distance made, and that's you know, how you grade yourself on your new record made, you know, or whatever.
Installing.
Yay.
So here's the question I have, Eric.
Yeah.
Looking at the pictures, there's at least one spot on the second picture where there is no white line connecting to the top of the screen. So what happens when there's no white line?
Second shot.
Yeah. Look out for red lines, it says.
So in the video, it shows you can actually swipe all the way across the screen to the other side.
Yes. Yep.
Well, but there's no white line. going to the top, because there's only red lines.
It's always moving. Maybe that second there isn't one.
I don't. I mean, the way I look at it, there's one white line coming from the bottom. There's one white line next to that.
I see what you're saying. Yeah,
they both end at the same time.
They probably made a bad move earlier, right before that picture was taken, or something. I'm guessing.
Gotcha. Okay. Yeah, and then now, and I see yellow things in the path and red things, red like dots in the path, not just red lines.
There are things you can't that speed you up.
Oh.
And I think the yellow things are like rings that you collect, sort of like Sonic rings, kind of.
Okay, so there's gold-looking rings that are gold-looking arrows that slow you down, red-looking arrows that speed you up when you want to go slower, my logic, whenever possible, and the rings are like bonus points.
Yeah, fair. I you know, to be honest, I didn't pay attention to those at all. I was so concentrated on just not dying that I don't know what they did.
You were just in the zone?
Yeah, I was just survival mode, man. I wasn't. There was no strategy. I didn't have time for strategy. I just had to look ahead and keep going.
So did you like hear the line when you were playing? Did you hear the line in your head? If you can dodge this wrench, you can dodge a ball?
No, I didn't.
Okay, just wondering.
And I will point out that it is family library compatible, assuming you're not using Google's product specifically for families, Google Apps.
The music's really nice too to it.
Oh, nope.
Not that you would know or care.
Yeah, yeah. I'm now believe up to 90 podcasts I subscribe to every week, and like I wanted to play the game Don't Starve.
Yeah.
On either my laptop, my Chromebook, my desktop, or my Android device, and I stopped and thought, nope, can't play it because I got to be able to hear things happening, like the dogs coming or something in the background. So I sacrificed my game playing. For my podcast. Now, in 4 weeks, I'm going to have a problem.
Yeah, what are you going to do when those two worlds collide? Well, you can play
that. Try to listen at like 4X?
Yeah, you can play the Switch and listen to podcasts, just right?
No, I'm pretty sure I'm going to need to listen to at least some of the stuff going on.
Hmm. I don't know, I think you've built up your... Yeah, I bet you can't even... If you can't play the game music at 2.5X, it's probably going to make the game slower for you in some way.
Well, but you want to hear the small things, I think, going on in the bathroom. Because if you watch the Breath of the Wild, the new Zelda game videos, there almost is no music in the game. You just once in a while hear a little, very sporadic harmony. And then seconds later, you don't really hear music in the background. Because everything's in ruins kind of thing. But I'm sure you could hear in the distance, what's that? That doesn't sound good. That sounds like something evil coming, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, that might be a big part of it.
So here's your compromise, Dory. Instead of listening at 3.7X on your podcast, you just dial that back to about 1.5, which is the same as practically not doing anything, and then you can listen to the game and the podcast at the same time.
I don't know.
Ooh, yeah, that's true.
At that point, your brain will just have all these spare cycles. It'll be waiting around for the next word to be spoken.
Well, I will say I can't listen to anything at normal speed. I mean,
but if you're concentrating on a game in the foreground with music and sounds, the normal speed will be fine in the background because your brain's. You know, I'm with you, Mark. You've got this figured out. You are an audio brain engineer.
No, because I won't actually hear any of the podcast. It'll just be like background noise. I might like key in on a word every now and then, but I actually won't hear it.
Hmm. You might listen to podcasts totally different than I do because I think they usually are background noise a lot of times.
No. I'm the guy that contacts nearly every podcast I listen to at least like once every couple months.
That's cool. Well, I'm not that guy. I should be thinking, I'm here, but.
Speaking of feedback, AAA at podnuts.com, we like to hear what you have to say. Don't let Dor be the only feedback we have for this show.
Yeah, let us think we're more than background noise to you. Talk to us.
Yeah, or you could leave a voicemail at 7076 Podnut.
I don't think we've ever had a voicemail on this show in the time that I've been here.
Nope.
Get scared but away, we
did,
man.
But we did have a new Patreon.
Yeah.
We did indeed. Ivor Davies, thank you for your generous pledge.
Yeah, and he is one of those guys, whenever there's a lot of people who post a lot of stuff into Google Plus communities kind of thing, he is kind of like, he reminds me of like Todd Evans, where he comes and goes, it seems like, with his links. But every link comes with perspective kind of thing. he will sit down and most of the time write out something about the link that he's posting. He's definitely one of those guys that thinks a lot. And something tells me, isn't big on like Facebook because, you know, he's tired of like political memes or something. Maybe. I don't know.
You know, the government's going to get you if you use Facebook.
Yeah.
All right, Eric, your turn.
I think it's...
No, you just did change line. Turn. Man, I'm off my game. Door, please.
That's okay. There's nothing wrong with that. I'm going to bring up this game because I believe it's on sale.
Oh, darn it.
Right now. What?
No, you're going to bring the same game I was going to bring about.
No, I'm not. I guarantee you. You want to put money on it?
No.
Good, because I'm right. It's called RPG... Yep. No, it ain't.
No, it ain't.
No, it's called RPG Fanatic Earth. It's by Kemco, K-E-M-C-O, T for Teen, 335 reviews right now on sale for 99 cents. I believe it was originally $5, 4.3 average reviews, updated June 3rd, 2014, between 1,000 and 5,000 installs, current version 1.1.0G, teen fantasy, violence and language. I will just say there was more than a couple games by this company that was on sale. I clicked a couple of them and I looked at them. This was the one that I decided to jump on, and I really like to, these are the kind of games I like to have in my library. So like when I go on my plane flight to Cambridge here in a couple weeks, if I'm really bored and I want to do something completely different, I can load this up and it will, you know, definitely take my attention away from, you know, floating in the sky up by the clouds where we could all die any second kind of thing. This is a very classic, like Ultima-esque is what I'll say. Old Final Fantasy, not the gigantic sword, I want to say 90s version of Final Fantasy, but the older stuff, type of gameplay, game mechanics. Easy as far as I'm concerned, very easy to play. You go into battle, turn based, you pick what you do, you bang, bang, bang. Then you walk around, you try to find stuff, random battle, take your turns, bang, 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 attack each other.
This is definitely your style, Dor. I don't know. The two styles I see here, I just don't get into either of them. I don't care for the anime type look of the characters in the screen, like drawings here, where you get to show evil what the Fist of Justice looks like firsthand. And I also don't like... I'm just a hater. Never mind.
Well, no, I'll say I despise how the crazy hair...
Yeah.
The guys look like the girls look like the guys. That's the kind of stuff I can't stand. If you go to the second screenshot, that to me is like the old school gaming that I like, where they're just... They're gigantic heads, little bodies walking around, you know, finding stuff, fighting stuff, killing stuff.
Mark, what do you think?
None of this appeals to me. In even the slightest way, just the
Dor's
not
got
thing.
His niche. He's got, and I'm sure that there's others like Dor. I'm with Mark on this.
The evil guy does have an epic porn stash, and you know I can appreciate him rocking that in the year 2017. But otherwise, just not working for me. I mean, I'm not saying it's not a great example of what it is. I'm just not interested in what it is.
And the goal of the game is to expose and bring down a corporate giant. So there's always a little bit of love there, too. That's good. We all want to do that.
And it's, you know, it's the unique dystopian future with the evil corporations have taken over. That's a storyline we've never seen before.
Ever. Very unique with people with very utterly round eyes, yes.
And cat ears.
Yeah.
That too. Everybody, I think, steals some ideas from Tolkien. It's just, what do you take from him?
All right. Well, I'm going to bring this game I was so afraid that Dor was going to bring just a second ago. So this is called Goo Saga. And somebody gave us a shout out about it on the Google Plus. And I had actually already bought it and was playing it. It's on sale for 10 cents, or it was. I'm not sure if it still is.
Was.
It's $1.99 now.
Yeah. Somebody... put it out there. It was 10 cents.
Richard.
Thank you, Richard. Yeah. It's a side scroller. Basically, you are a gelatinous ball of goo, and you roll around collecting little colorful goo parts, and then they change your color. It's fun. You can, sometimes you got to squeeze in a like a, under a low mezzanine or something, and you can inflate or deflate your character to based on what you need to do at the time. If you need to jump higher or go faster, you inflate yourself, but then also you'll find yourself skidding across the floor a lot longer. But if you need to squeeze into someplace, you know, tiny, you can deflate your body and go where you need to go. No right, video.
You can.
So, oh, wait.
There's video.
Oh, there is video. Oh,
yeah. And when you jump, you can also like slam down, which is another mechanic to kill people. I'll just say this. Graphically, utterly appealing game. Mm-hmm. I like everything about this game, but I despise after the level you have options to power this up or power that up or power this up or power that up. I hate the idea of going into a level blind, because you are. Every level you're going in blind. Mm-hmm. And then you power stuff up, and then you start to play a level, and then you realize, nope, shouldn't have powered that up. Should have powered something else up. I would be much more okay with being able to pause the game where I'm at in a level and saying, okay, now I want to power this level up. I'd much, utterly, utterly much. I would have happily paid $2 if that was the way that it let me power up.
Yeah, good point.
I was sold at the giant Mecha Godzilla boss. That's all I needed to see.
Yeah, I haven't seen that yet.
It's in one of the screenshots.
Yeah, and this is graphically, I have to say, up there. This is in the upper 10% looking games.
It's pretty. And the gameplay seems interesting. I don't know. 10 cents, I'm all over it. $2, I'm just having a hard time pulling that trigger. Not that $2, I mean, I leave tips bigger than that, but still, it, for some reason, there's a psychological barrier there for me.
Trust me, I absolutely agree. Mm-hmm. And that's why now, more than ever, I believe we're going to have game devs, I don't want to say eager to jump, but eager to go to other platforms like the Nintendo Switch and try to make games. Because literally, you can sell one game and it would be like selling 10 or 20 on a Android device.
I got no problem with dropping $12 on a sandwich for lunch, but $2 on a game that will last, you know, the enjoyment will last far longer than that sandwich. There's just a psychological thing there. I won't spend $2 to play a game on my $400 phone. People are weird.
Yeah. The developers are from Sunnyvale, California. You know, hook them up. Sure, Sunnyvale's got some pretty high cost of living.
See, when I first saw the title, I thought it was going to be one of the World of Goo games, which I love.
I did too.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, that developer is right now, I believe, on a Humble Bundle where they're selling four games on their platform. I did bring one of their games 2 weeks ago, Human Resources or Human Resource Machine, by the same developer of that. Everything that developer does, I'll say, is unique. They do completely different style games, but they're all, I think, pretty good.
I think this developer must have changed their name or something, because everything's Toca Loca, but it says Pinata here, so I'm not sure.
All right, so we're at 8 apps. One more each, and we'll have our even number 10.
You want me to empty my tank door, or you want to go ahead?
Sure, yeah.
All right, this last one is not a game. This is a shopping app, but it's basically an Amazon shopping app. It's called Canopy, Amazon Curated Beta. And this is a shopping app that just shows you, I guess, classy things and cheap things. I mean, something where there seems to be a lot of value in the thing that is they're showing to you. Where if you were to go to a different store, like any other store, and buy it, it would be much more. But you're not going to find everything in this curated section. There's only three headings to choose from, and then you just scroll down from them. I think it's like trending and new. The most popular, new, and trending are the three categories. But some of the stuff in here, I mean, it makes you think, hey, what the heck? Not bad. Not a bad deal.
I mean, I've always wanted a face vase. I don't know how I ever got along without that.
Some of the things are, to me, I find extremely expensive. But other things are, I see that it's like a USB wall plate. I think we were talking about this on the Mini PC show a couple weeks ago. $9 on Amazon Prime. So it's got the link that takes you right to that. A retro flip down clock, internal gear operated. I'm just going to hold this up here so you can see it. It's like one of the fold flip clocks without any kind of a frame around it.
Like from Groundhog Day.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I guess. 36 bucks.
What's 36?
Yeah.
Well, yeah. And well, I'll say this. I know there is credibility in that style of app because, like, my Bluetooth headphones are called One Voice. One Voice something. And they literally are just nubs. Okay, I get two of them. They can do mono mode or stereo mode. Each one can independently do mono mode, which is the reason I bought them. Off their website, they're over $100. But on, I want to say it's called Technobob, $50. Like $52 or something like that. Literally, virtually half price. And then they've been half price for like over a month. So I know there's places out there where you don't pay full price for higher quality stuff, I'll say, or higher end stuff or higher price stuff, whatever you want to put it. So just because of that alone, I'm going to install this app just to see what kind of things I can come across.
And then there's style stuff. You know how Brian was looking for the clock that magically appears? Then I end up getting one off of AMZ Review Trader. They want $40 for this, but if that fan is $180 on here, it's like it's called a Otto fan from Stadler Form. I don't understand why it would be $180. It must be that stylish, and I just don't see it. But
this is just a super clever way to get people to use your Amazon referral link.
Yeah, you're just,
as long as you do it like that. Me, I'll go to throwbackreviews.net, click Amazon on a different thing, open up and search by name for what it has in its app because, you know,
right.
That's kind of how I roll.
I guess it's kind of like Ben's Bargains used to be, you know. Ben would find these things that he thought was a good deal and he'd share them with everybody. It's kind of like this. These guys think this stuff is cool or cheap and they're sharing it. It's really opinion, though. I mean, you might hate everything that these guys suggest.
Well, and I'll say this. The problem with Amazon is there's too much stuff on it. I'm okay with the idea of curation, you know, bringing things to the top because I don't want to say it's needed, but there is nearly too much stuff on Amazon. You know,
it is the everything store.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right, Dor, drain the tank.
Okay. Let me close Fire Emblems here as we've got that. Oh, okay. This is a non-game app. It's immature and it's for kids and it's connected with games, but it's not a game app. Okay. This is called Lego Life Create and Discover, which makes you want to hold up like a gang sign with an L kind of thing. Lego Life for Life. This is not a game. This is a safe community built specially for boys and girls who are fans of Legos. 100% free to download, 100% free to use. You can conquer Lego challenges or build your own custom Lego minifigures, and you can share them out for people to rate and, you know, like share with your friends kind of thing. This is the kind of thing where my youngest son just nonstop giggles as he makes his characters because he likes the idea of, you know, making a guy and putting him in a dress he thinks is hysterical.
Bearded ladies and things.
Yes, yes. Just things that make no sense to him because, you know, all he watches is, you know, Teen Titans Go and stuff like that.
So he's never heard of Bruce Jenner then.
Or Caitlyn. Yeah, this is, I'll say, and it has in tons of like emoji things, but instead of emoji faces, they're Lego heads. I mean, this is a Lego verse. If you are a Lego fanatic, not just a fan, not just somebody who likes their Legos, if you're a fanatic, you are in heaven.
Have you figured out how to troll this and make little kids cry yet?
No. I had to think about that for a second. No, I don't think I would. But
no, I'm just saying, somebody's going to. I just wondered if you've seen if it's possible to, like, you know, that looks horrible. Why would you make that?
What I love about this is the commenting. It says safe and fun emoji commenting. There are no letters. There are no words. You can only comment with emoji when you're commenting. That's awesome.
Yeah.
Well, that makes it sense.
I don't know, but I'm sure if you can troll someone, my son would probably be the one doing the trolling because I'm pretty sure he would think it's funny.
Oh, yeah. Of course.
Yeah. Okay. This next one, I can't even remember what it was rated, but there's no way it can be family-friendly kind of thing. It's called Laughly Stand-Up Comedy Radio by Laugh Radio Inc. T for Teen, 99 reviews, completely free to install, does have some sort of in-app purchase, 2.8 average reviews. Updated December 13th, 2016, between 5,000 and 10,000 installs. Current version 1.11. It says content rating teen.
Yeah, Louis.
Most comedy I hear is more than just teen. You know,
CK is not going to be for everyone, that's for sure, which is good. He's one of my faves. He's on here. Sarah Silverman, I think she's hilarious.
Yeah. Richard Pryor.
Oh, yeah. That's not...
Not teen.
That's not for everyone.
No. Anybody that sets themselves on fire is not a kid-friendly thing.
I'm George Carlin? Is he? I didn't see
the list. I wouldn't shock me.
Have you used it, Dor?
Oh, he is. Yep, he's in the list, too.
I literally just started it up, played a thing for a couple minutes, and then I had to get back to my podcast.
A couple of the comments say that it's a pay service that you can't listen unless you pay.
Well, then maybe I got a free trial, possibly, because I know I listened. Contains apps and that purchase.
Maybe it's one of those things where if you, you get 30 minutes free and then they start charging you.
It says at the beginning of the third paragraph, it's free to listen, so start making playlists with your favorite comedy acts and share them with your friends. You don't want their lives to be dull forever.
Oh, they have profanity filtering if you sign up.
Ah. Yeah. Well, and the real reason I even looked at this app, my wife, I used to be really big liking stand-up comedy. My wife still listens to stand-up comedy a lot. And to be honest, she's the one who wants to go to the local scum bucket, is the way I put it. Because there's no such thing as a good, clean comedy club.
That's the best.
Comedy, and watch whoever do their routines kind of thing. Thus, I'm afraid to show her this app.
I wonder if there's any new guys in there. I mean, it's showing the big names, but I wonder if this is an opportunity for discovery of not famous people.
I would hope so, and I would think so just for one reason. New people should be cheaper for them to acquire and, publish.
Yeah. All right. Interesting. Anything else, Dor?
I'm looking through my app. I'm going to throw one out that I'm never going to bring again just because, I'm already right now done for a while with my apps. But this is another podcast client. Just to remind people, no matter how much you think you like your dog catcher or your Pocket Cast or your Podcast Addict, there's always more out there, And you never know when you're going to find the one that does everything the way you want it to be. And I'll say, don't forget, we have Castback, the only community-focused podcast thing in existence, period. It's like SoundCloud, but in app form, in my opinion. It's a really smart way to go. This is called Castbox Podcast Music and Radio by maybe the longest company name in Google Play. Castbox.fm-radio and podcast and music and audiobook. Ooh. It says T13, 50,000 reviews, does have some sort of in-app purchase, completely free to install, 4.6 average reviews, updated January 19th, 2017, between 1 million and 5 million installs. Current version, too long to read, starts with a 5. Does have some sort of in-app purchase for $1.99 per item, it says.
Yeah, I'm not looking. You know, I came across one the other day that it was just called, it's in the side here, Podcast Player. I don't remember seeing that before. I saw that pop up in something I was looking at. I'm like, I don't know. I've already paid for Dog Catcher. I've already paid for Podcast Addict. I don't know if I paid for Castback yet. A little investment in it, and I don't know. It seems like when I stray, I just like, sometimes I just like the way that used to be. You know, you really develop habits with these things.
I know, and I'll tell you, it took me a lot to leave Dog Catcher. See, I couldn't think of it. It took me a lot to leave Dog Catcher. I finally had to leave when I would turn the speed up, and it would literally just start breaking up and start, not good. And that was the only thing that, because nothing else was going to make me leave. That's how much I was using Dog Catcher. There's endless supply, seemingly. Endless supply.
And, try them all. There's no harm in it.
Right.
Yeah, or you'd be like me and just buy them all.
And while you have them installed, if you like a podcast, thumbs up them so that other people can see that when they install this, maybe Joe Rogan won't be number one. and other podcasts get noticed.
I mean, it really is true that the best thing, the single greatest responsibility a podcast listener can have is to review, rate, and share that podcast. But it's not just podcasts. You know, we were talking earlier about, you know, Amazon reviews and you know, things like it is a community responsibility to share the things that you like, because people who are like you will follow that. And we all do a bad job of it. So I'm yelling at myself as much as you, but seriously, whatever you're using, if there is a way to thumbs up, to rate, to plus one, to whatever, do it to the things that you like. Go to the podcast's directory and leave a comment, even if it's just, hey, I like this one. The apps that you like, go and review them. These are not only helpful things to do. I really have become to see it as a duty of consumers, because like you were saying earlier about Amazon, there is so much stuff out there. If we don't help each other, if we don't curate each other for each other, then we're going to get lost in a morass of mediocrity. And, you know, and that's what's happening in the podcast world. There are famous people who were famous and then started a podcast, but don't deserve to be famous for their podcasting. And yet there are people who are excellent podcasters that the world is never going to hear of.
Yeah. And I'll say any business owner or anybody involved with business ownership knows the most powerful form of advertising isn't advertising. It's word of mouth. And I try to make it a point at least once a month, like I said, to either provide real positive feedback and share a podcast out on some sort of social platform, or to literally word of mouth talk about another podcast. So, you know, we all need to do that, because honestly, nobody trusts anybody more than other people. If you hear an ad about it, it's just not the same. And like, here's the example I'll use. I heard somebody on a Twitch show talk about another podcast that nobody on the show was on. That doesn't happen too often. So I immediately had to subscribe, but I haven't had a chance to listen yet. It's a show, I believe it was called Fast Forward. In the show, they basically start out in like story mode about something in the future, and then they break, and then they start to explain how something could have came to be, whether it's now, or when they start the show, there is a robot on trial for murder, like hypothetical, you know what I mean, kind of thing. And then they'll get into the show about how it came to be that this happened, and, you know, what are the questions that are being asked by everyone, you know, what's the important questions to ask, and, you know, what was the technology that had to happen for it to happen. I'll just say it's a different kind of podcast from what I can tell. And now, of course, I can't find it. It looks like, see, I'm obviously on the wrong feed. It says the last episode was 3 years ago. So yeah, I'm going to have to find the right link. Yeah, it was definitely called Fast Forward Podcast, though.
That sounds like a different form of storytelling altogether. I've never seen that done. That's kind of cool.
Yeah, and it was a lady on This Week in Google who likes to profess that she's the IoT lady, which, you know, I kind of laugh at her. She's finally getting a Pine 64
to
do something.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I've literally given them two of them away at conferences 6 months ago. But yeah, I mean,
that would be Stacey Higginbotham, I believe.
Thank you, because I knew I couldn't say her name. Yeah, so listen to other people, check it out. You never know when you're going to find that next piece of gold.
And, you know, while you're searching for that, I'll say the thing that I have said for a while now is not only support, not only share, but pay for the things you like. And that includes this show and the Door-to-Door Geek. If you like him and if you like his products, the best way to stand up and be counted is to go to patreon.com/androidappaddicts and make a pledge. He does monthly pledges, and he's, you know, we're going to see four shows of Android App Addict a month, but he's going to put out 493,000 shows a month is at the rate he goes. So you're really getting great value for your $5 a month donation. But go check it out, patreon.com/androidappaddicts, and he'll thank you for it. We'll all thank you for it.
Well, and I did put out a emergency episode a couple days ago about VPN clients on Android devices. Some security researchers actually looked at some of these applications and analyzed the packets they were sending. Some of these quote unquote private VPNs literally like mesh the all of the phones together that are using this app and transmit everything in clear text. There's some really bad ones out there, people. This is more than ever. Ask people who know. Ask people who know more than you. What is the VP client? What is the VPN client you use, and why do you use it? And then you're going to hear things like private internet access being repeated over and over again. Don't just randomly pick one in the Google Play Store because that's a pretty icon. There is nothing more personal in your life than the information on your phone. Act like it's important.
I don't think we can say anything more than that. That is an excellent wrap up to the show. So we'll just leave it there, guys. I'm assuming most of you guys and girls, thanks for listening. Eric, Dor, I appreciate, as always, you letting me hang out with you and ramble my way through another show. We'll see you next week, because that's it for this episode of the Android App Addicts podcast.
Hi, this is Matt, the host of the MRP Tech Podcast. I'd like to invite you to listen to all the great shows on the Podnuts Tech Podcast Network. My show is themed Everyday Tech for Everyday People. You can take a listen over at podnuts.com or by subscribing to the RSS feed and downloading them directly. We hope you're enjoying all the great content here on the network. And as always, thanks so much for listening.
Music provided by Steve Cherubino at stevecherubino.com.